Okay, so with that said, Mother's Day. Always a tough, it's always tough on Mother's Day because it's like, what do you preach on Mother's Day? I mean, you got to preach about moms. You, if you don't, you know, it'll be your last Sunday as a preacher. But Mother's Day, I'm trying to figure out, Father, what do you want the church to learn on Mother's Day? And not just for mothers, but for everyone, for the whole community. So the best place I went to was one of the best mothers, if not the best mother in the Bible, which is Mary. And Mary in her toughest moment in her life. Mary, when she's at the foot of the cross and she sees her son be crucified. And there's three lessons that I want to share with you in that moment. And I'm going to give you three truths today that I pray will bless moms, will bless the church, and will bless the families in the church. All three. That's what my prayer is. So I will read something to you. It's in John. This is nowhere in any of the notes. All right, for those of you that have YouVersion, you can have YouVersion. You can take notes on it, however you want to do that. But John 19, 25 through 27 says this. Standing near the cross, and it's nowhere on there, right? Standing near the cross where Jesus's mother, were Jesus's mother, and his mother's sister Mary, and Mary Magdalene. Verse 26 says this. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." Verse 27 says this. And he said to this disciple, being John, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Let's pray. Father, I pray that today this message reaches the heart of everyone here. I pray for those moms that are single moms. I pray for those that are moms that are going through a difficult time as they see their children maybe being crucified by something that's oppressing them. I pray for those individuals in the church that are looking for something to do in the church and don't know what to do. I pray that this message speaks to everyone in this church, that your word reaches the hearts so we can hear your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I'm going to teach you on Mother's Day the love of Christ. And what does the love of Christ look like? I want you to know the purpose in life is very simple. God gives you life for one simple reason, so you can learn how to love. We think that life is about, oh, you know, as a coach, winning games. We think it's about earning money. We think it's about gaining fame and success and power and pleasure and letting people know who we are, reaching accomplishments, doing things that are outside of the norm, saving the world. We think it's all about that. We think it's about achievements and accolades. I'm here to tell you it's not. God gives you life for one reason, so you can learn how to love like Jesus loves. That's the whole purpose of life. That's why you have life. You are going to learn in this life how to love God and how to love people. The greatest commandment of all is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love God with everything. Be all in. Everything you have in your life, your entire strength, your entire being is about loving God. And it's also about loving people. I will tell you, I've said this many times, I'm going to say it again. It's upward, it's inward, and then it's outward. In the greatest commandment, it says, love the Lord with everything. Love him upward. Then it's inward. Because it says, love others as you love who? As you love yourself. So you cannot give a love to others that you do not have. And the only way you're going to learn what real love is, the only way you're going to truly love yourself, the only way you're going to truly love other people is by allowing God to love you. When you allow God to pour his love into you, you will learn a totally different love that you've never experienced in this world, an unconditional love that goes outside of any boundary, that goes outside of any dimension, that goes outside of any relationship you've ever experienced. When you experience that love, when you see yourself the way God sees you, When he looks past your sin, when he looks past your failure, when he looks past your shortcomings and continually loves you in your pain, in your struggle, in your oppression, and you don't have to do anything for him to love you, absolutely nothing, except just receive that love. And when he downloads that love on you, then you can love yourself because you will see yourself the way God sees you. And then as you do that, then the love that you give outwardly, after you love him upwardly, and then you receive a love to love yourself inwardly, then the love you give away is a love you give away because it's a love you've received. And it's a beautiful thing when you love people without limitations, without boundaries, when you love people and you look past their sin and you look past their failure. And how can you do that? Because you've received a love like that. And when you receive a love like that, it's easy to give. There's three individuals in this story. There's Jesus, the Son of God, and also the Son of Mary, Son of Man, Son of God. There's Jesus's mother, and then there's John the Apostle, the disciple, the youngest of all of the disciples. He's the one that Jesus loved the most. John was the one that was nearest to Jesus' heart. So in this, at the foot of this cross, there's a lot I want you to understand. First of all, let me help you understand this. On the cross, Jesus is unbelievably fatigued, exhausted, worn out. He has no energy. The loss of blood of Christ on the cross is so much he can't bear it. You know, the Bible says that he got whipped 40 minus one times, 39 times. But what you have to understand is being whipped 39 times with a whip that has nine different lashes on it, nine different parts of the whip. He got 39 lashings times nine. He had 351 lashes all over his back and all over his body. This is why the Romans knew that on the 40th lash, a man would die within hours. He was one whip, nine lashes away from dying within hours. They let him live longer. So Jesus is struggling and Jesus is in so much pain. And here's what I want you to know. In the middle of all that, instead of focusing on himself, he focuses on his mother. Truth number one that I want to share with you today is this. If I could have that next slide. This is the love of Christ, is care for your own family. I will today, this one, I would even go further and tell you, care for your mom. Today, because it's Mother's Day, I'm gonna change that to say, care for your mom. Today, I'm going to show you three ways Jesus cared for his mother. I will show you in his darkest hour, in his toughest moment, Jesus, instead of focusing on himself, he focuses on his mother. And he does three things for his mom that I challenge everyone here. If you are blessed enough to have your mom, I would ask you to do these three things for your mother. And I'm not asking you to do it just today. Can I hear an amen from the moms? I would ask you to do it more than just for today. I would ask you to make this a lifestyle. I would ask this of you as well. If you do not have your mother here today, and there's someone in this church that is a mom that doesn't have their child here today, today the Lord's going to make you guys find each other. And today you're going to do something that Jesus did when I get to truth number two and truth number three. And you're going to see today how Christ is going to love us. And we love each other on Mother's Day through maybe some difficult times. A little footnote on Mary. Mary lived after Jesus died. Mary lived with John. John took care of Mary for 12 years before she passed on. So there's a lot there to see that John fulfilled what Jesus asked of him to do. So I'll get to that in just a second. Here are the three things I want you to do for your mom, because these are the three things that Jesus did for his mom. First one I will tell you to do is this. Pay attention to your mom. Attention is one of the greatest gifts you will ever give anyone in your family. Give your mother attention. Attention is greater than money. Some people would argue with that. But I'm here to tell you, attention is greater than money, because attention equals life. When you stop what you're doing and you pay attention to your mom, when you pay it, and I'll go further, when you pay attention to your family, I know you have tasks. I know you have things to do. I know we all have responsibilities, but when you stop everything that you're doing and you pay attention to your family, you stop and pay attention to your mom. It is the greatest compliment you give, because if attention is greater than money and attention equals time, I'm here to tell you that attention represents your life. You are sharing your life. You are partaking of what you do and showing importance to that individual. Now, moms pay attention to us. Sometimes we wish they wouldn't, because sometimes they pay too much attention to us. Because I will tell you, a mother pays more attention to the family than anyone else. A mother knows when something is wrong, even though you try to hide it. Can I hear an amen to that? My mother would know when I would walk in from high school after a football game and slam or close the door. She would know while she's cooking for me, "You lost, didn't you? How do you know that?" She could tell by the way I closed the door. She could tell by the way I walked in. She could tell that something was wrong with a girlfriend. No, I never had any girlfriends, honey. There was no such thing. I don't even know why I said that. Just fictitiously. I'm going to just use that story. She would know when I was in a bad relationship. She knew something was wrong because she was always paying attention to me. And it's interesting. As time moves on and we do all the things that we do, now she needs me to pay attention to her. And I spend so much time doing so many things. This message convicts me. I don't know if it convicts you, but it convicts me to go, I need to pay more attention to my mom. Because if the love of Jesus in his toughest moment pays attention to his mom, stop trying to save the world. Go pay attention to your mom. Jesus was saving the world on the cross, literally. But in the middle of saving the world, he stops saving what he's doing and he pays attention to his mom. My wife is wonderful for several reasons. She, when we brought in all six of our children and she was working and I was working, because we had to work to sustain the family, because, you know, big house, now a lot of family, big house, big cars, we got to pay bills. When Roseanne finally said, "Look, I'm paying attention to the whole family and we're missing it. We're missing our kids." She says, "I'm going to quit my job." Okay. Oh, Lord. My wife spent the rest of her life paying attention to her kids. My wife looks in the rooms, makes sure everything's okay. She checks grades. She checks social media. She's always paying attention to the kids. The kids don't want her to pay attention to them. She pays attention to them because that's her nature. That's the love of a mom. She go, you know, we used to have a live-in nanny who would cook food and take care of everything. She's gone. And now my wife, from Monday through Friday, she goes and cooks meals for our kids. The kids are like, "Mom, this is awesome." I mean, she's great. And she does all that. She's taken that place of someone else because she's understood, these kids are mine. They have my attention. They're my children. I must focus on them. The best thing I could do is love them and pay attention to them. Jesus paid attention to his mom on the darkest hour of his life. So I challenge you to do that. The second thing he does is this. Jesus meets the practical needs of his mom. Jesus had nothing to offer his mother when it came to financials. He had no property. He had no inheritance. He had no money. If you don't know, I know, because I went to Jerusalem with Gary and Carol and they took us to the cave where Jesus trained his disciples outside of Jerusalem. That was the cave where he lived when Jesus said, "Foxes have holes or dens, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." That's literal. Jesus was basically homeless. He was homeless. He lived in the cave. He had nothing to give his mother. Nothing. He couldn't even afford his own place to be buried, to place in a tomb. It was somebody else's tomb. But here's what Jesus is what he does. Before he dies, he makes sure that his mother is taken care of, that her physical needs are taken care of. John, take care of mom. Son, here is your mother. I bestow you the responsibilities of taking care of her. Provide for her. You know what you don't know? You don't know this, that at this moment, Mary's a widow. Joseph is dead. Amen. She's a widow. She has no one to take care of. Okay, well, you know, let me say this. There were, I'll say this in a little bit, that there were other family members, but Jesus tells one of his disciples to work for her and take care of her. Let me ask all of you this. How are you taking care of your mother, taking care of her practical needs? What are you doing for her to prepare for her whenever the time comes where you will make sure she's taken care of? What are you as a man doing for your mom? What are you doing for your wife? What are you doing for your family? This is take care of your own family. Jesus takes care of his family. He takes care of Mary. So I'm going to ask a tough question, but it's an important question. On Mother's Day, yes. When the Lord calls you home, do you have something to bestow, to leave behind for your family? Or do we spend money on credit cards and we pay interest instead of letting interest work for us? It works against us. I've said this all the time. We buy things with money we don't have for things we don't need to impress people we don't like. I don't get that. I'd rather save money and put it aside to make sure that if God calls me, my wife, my kids, my mom, my sister, they're taken care of. Jesus was taking care of his mom on his death cross. What are we doing for them? I love my sister. My sister takes care of my mom. My mom has moved in with my sister. And Mel, who is a widow, is taking care of her mom. It's amazing to see that. So that's the second thing I would ask you to do on Mother's Day, to take care of your own family. Let me give you a third thing that Jesus does. Jesus meets the emotional needs of his mom. And I challenge you today, not only meet the practical needs of your mother, but meet the emotional needs of your mom. Let me tell you how tough it was for Mary. A lot of people understand this, but I really don't think they get it. Mary went through a traumatic experience. Mary was a teenage mom. She was a teenage mom bestowed to be married to Joseph, and she's pregnant, and she tells Joseph, look, I'm pregnant, and I didn't have sex, but I'm pregnant. How many guys are going to believe that story? No guy in the right frame of mind would believe that story. And she says, oh, by the way, God impregnated me. Right. God did that. Sure. So that's to begin with. That's tough. Do you know that they had to go and hide someplace? And do you know the emotional trauma Mary experienced when she saw that boys were being killed because King Herod is trying to make sure Jesus is murdered in all of this? So the assassination of a generation of a bunch of male Hebrew boys in this area are being killed, and the guilt she has to carry and the fear she has to have to try to save the Son of God and protect the Son of God in the middle of all this. That in itself is traumatic. To know that her husband has died and Mary is a widow, and yet she has to provide for herself in the middle of all of this, and Jesus is the one that's taking care of her until he's 30 years old and he goes into the ministry. Mary has to struggle with all of that. And now here is Mary at the foot of the cross, her heart being pierced because she sees her son being assassinated when he hasn't done anything but just love people. And in the middle of all of that, Jesus stops and sees the emotional need of his mom and makes sure that she's taken care of. You don't have to worry, mom. You don't have to worry. You'll be taken care of. Let me give you some scriptures. Exodus 20:12 has a command, which is in red, and it has a promise, which is in green. I want you to learn to read the Bible this way. And it says this. This is a command. This is to all kids. Honor your father and your mother. Honor them. What does honor look like? Respect them. Obey them. Submit to them. Revere them. Serve them. Be grateful for them. Be generous to them. Pay attention to them. Supply their emotional needs. Supply for their physical needs. That is what it means to honor someone. To put your desires and your things aside and serve them. Why would I want to serve my mom and my dad? They're old. They can take care of themselves. They served you when you couldn't take care of yourself. All the things that I said what honor is, they did for you. Now it's time for you to do back to them what they did for you. Why would I want to do that? Look at the promise. This is a promise. Green. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord has given you. That's what he told the people of Israel. It's what he told the Hebrew people. And that principle is true for us. I have seen it too much as a teacher. I've taught, coached for 31 years, and I have seen the children that honor their parents, they have a better life than those that don't. All of you that are teachers and coaches, yes or no? Right? It's biblical. It's a promise. What happens if you don't honor your mother and father? What happens if you don't do this? Then you don't get this promise. As a matter of fact, the promise works against you. If you do not honor your father and mother, then you're not going to live a long, full life. You're going to live a very difficult life that you bring upon yourself. Let me give you another scripture. Watch what it says in 1 Timothy. Look at all, verse 4, it's in green. It shouldn't have been. It should have been in black. But look at the commands. Take care of any widow. Take care of any widow who has no one to care for her. Jesus is doing that. Jesus is telling John, look, take care of her. But if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to do this. Here's the command. Show the godliness at home and repay their parents by taking care of them. So children or grandchildren, show godliness to your mom by taking care of them. That is a godly thing for you to do. And watch what happens. This, the blue is a truth. This is, oh, listen to this. This pleases God. Faith pleases God. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. On Mother's Day, I'm here to tell you, this pleases God when you take care of your family. God is pleased by that. God loves for you to take care of your family, not to fight against your family, not to try to do something totally different against your family, but to honor them and take care of them. God says, yes, from the heavens. I love when I see my children take care of each other. This is what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Timothy writes this. Let me give you another one. Proverbs 17:17. This is the one about meeting the emotional needs. A friend is always loyal. That's a truth. And here's another truth. And a brother, or you could say a family member, is born to help. Is born to help in a time of need. Another version says, friends love at all times, and family is there for tough times. You're going to face tough times. You have already, I do not doubt. We all have our story on Mother's Day with the tough times. I'm not here to say that all mothers are perfect. That's not what I'm saying. Not if we would only receive love when we're perfect, Jesus wouldn't love us. Jesus loves us in spite of our imperfections. That's the love of a mom. That's the love that Jesus shared on the cross to his mom. Let me give you truth number two. The second thing I want you to see is this. Treat other believers as family. So I want you to see this. While Jesus is on the cross loving his mom, Jesus is on the cross also loving John. John is not a family member, but John is part of the family. What do I mean by that? John is part of the spiritual family. And I want you to understand this. Spiritual family is greater than genetic family. How can you say that, John? Real simple. Because the spiritual is greater than the physical. And the spiritual birth lasts longer than the physical birth. My mom gave me a name, but Christ has a name for me waiting up in heaven. The Bible talks about it in Revelation that he will hand me a stone that will have my name that he has for me. My name is John or Juan by given to my mom and my dad. That's what they gave me. But Jesus will have my true name up in heaven, and he will have your true name up in heaven, your true identity of who you really are. Now, I love this picture because if you look at this picture, who's having fun? The kids and the moms. Look at the dads. They're like, okay, we'll do it too. Look at it. I mean, you could just see the moms are having a blast. The kids are having a blast. The dads are like, well, all right, I'll jump. Maybe. There's one mama just getting down, having fun dancing. There's something wonderful about that, about just what mothers bring into a home. The love of a mother is wonderful. And mothers, they don't just love their kids. They love their kids' friends. And they bring them in and they welcome everybody and they cook for everybody. You know that house in the neighborhood. Maybe you're that house where, Dios mío, everybody comes over your house. And everybody comes over your house because you're that mom. You're that mom that welcomes everybody. And you're that mom that's going to give love and advice and wisdom and chocolate cookies and chocolate chip cookies. And they're going to come all the time. And they're always going to remember you. I look at places that I've coached at, and there's certain moms that are team moms. And when they have a meal in their house, all the players come over. I mean, I've got a family right there. The Catlets were that family. Everybody went over the Catlett house. All my players went over that house because that was the house that there was going to be love given. Even though you're not in my family, you are my family. That is a wonderful thing. Now, I want you to know this. Jesus has, at this time, he has four half-brothers and two half-sisters, all right? He doesn't send his mom to be taken care of by his immediate family. Not his genetic family. He sends his mom to be taken care of by a spiritual family, which is John. And why? Because the four half-brothers and the two half-sisters, they weren't believers at this moment. John was. They didn't receive the training. John did. They become believers after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And James, who's Jesus' brother, if you know the book of James in the Bible, Jesus' brother wrote that. James was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. James does understand. And he does come in and go, wow, this is it. If you look at James chapter 1, I think it's verse 27, it says, true religion is when you take care of the widows and the orphans. Why does James write that? Because he saw John take care of his own mom. He saw what Jesus, he heard what Jesus had done. He goes, there it is. He's doing this. So I'm here to tell you, in a little bit, we're going to have moms come up and we're going to give roses to the moms. And there's going to be some mom in here that's going to be here and their child isn't here today for whatever reason. And then no one's going to give them a rose. And I'm going to ask the church to seek out that mom that doesn't have anybody to give them a rose and be John for them today. And give them a rose. And let's pray for them. And let's be a family. Let's not just be a genetic family. Let's be a spiritual family where we see the needs of other people and we meet their physical needs and we meet their emotional needs and we pay attention to them. How hard is it to do that? Seriously, how hard is it to pay attention to someone? How hard is it to just meet some of their physical needs? How hard is it to meet some of their emotional needs? Oh, what's it going to take? Time. Oh, well, I don't got time. Jesus was running out of time and he did it. So you're going to go save the world? He did, and he still took time. Let me read to you some scriptures on this. Oh, I love Romans 12. There's so much read, so many commands. Watch what it says. Don't just pretend to love others. That could be a command too, right? I should have put that in red. Really love them. Watch what he says. Hate what is wrong. Hold on tightly to what is good. And I love this. Love each other with genuine affection. Time out. Love each other with genuine affection. Today, there's going to be genuine affection as we give a rose to someone who doesn't have a child here. And we're going to share that rose with them. And we're going to love them genuinely with affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Today, we're going to share roses. And today, we're going to honor each other. Look at the next slide. Be happy with those who are happy. And weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. That's a great truth. That's something a mom would say, right? A mom would say that. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And I love this last one. And don't think you know it all. That's something, that's advice my mom would give me. She would give me all of that. Who do you think you are? Don't think you're too big that you can't help anybody. That's good. That's not bad. It's a good thing. So today on Mother's Day, we're going to do this in just a second. Let me give you the final truth. Help those in need. Now, I chose this at all times. I chose this picture in particular for this reason. Jesus is at the cross, and he's in a lot of pain. You know what pain does? Pain makes us self-centered. I'm just going to tell you, if I'm home at sick and I've got the flu, and I'm throwing up and I just don't feel good, I got 102 fever, I'm not thinking about how's the church doing. I wish I could. I'm like, man, let's pray for the church. No, pray for me. Right? When we're in pain, we're thinking about ourselves. This is my favorite thing about how to love like Jesus loved. One, Jesus paid attention to his mom. He took care of his family. Two, Jesus took John. And as he took John, he loved John as a family member and made him part of the family. You know, some of my closest friends are people that are in this room that I'm closer to than my own brother. Some of you here, we came out of different moms, right? But even though we came out of different moms, I'm closer to you than I am to my own family. And that's the beauty of the family of God. So that's going on the cross. But my favorite thing about what's going on the cross is this one. Pain makes us self-centered and selfish, right? But here's what Jesus does. Instead of focusing on his pain, you know what he's doing? He's focusing on everybody else's pain. Well, what does he do? Let me tell you the first three things he says. He says, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. What does he do? On the cross, in his excruciating pain, with 351 lashes all over his body, what does he do? He's praying for the needs of his enemies on the cross. Instead of saying, Lord, save me, help me, he's saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What else does he do? He meets the needs of the person right next to him who's a lost soul, who's a criminal, who says, remember me. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. So instead of focusing on his pain, he's focusing on the need of the person right next to him who's scared to death, who thinks he's going to go to hell. And Jesus saves him. Jesus forgives them. And what else does Jesus do? At the foot of the cross, he's taking care of his spiritual brother, and he's loving his mom. We can get so caught up saying, well, you know what? I'm not going to meet anybody's needs until my needs are met first. When my needs are met first, then I'll meet somebody else's needs. If you want to love like Jesus loves, meet other people's needs while yours aren't being met. Love other people even though you're not being loved. And can I tell you something? That's the best way I would describe a mom. Mothers, you guys face so much. The trauma of being a mom is not easy. And I'm going to tell you this right now. You beat yourself up way too much. I'm just going to say it for everybody. You beat yourself up way too much. Your children's failures, you make them yours. They're not yours. And I'm going to say another thing, moms. Sometimes your kids need to fail. Don't save them from failure. Help them through failure. Walk with them. Be there for them. Encourage them. Love them. Challenge them. But don't protect them from failure. The best lesson is failure. Because when we can get up from failure and keep fighting, and you encourage that spirit, you're creating a child who'll overcome through Christ. But if you protect them from failure and you don't let them experience it, they'll never grow. I will tell you, do not beat yourself up. I'll say it again. At the cross, Jesus forgives those who put him on the cross. He saves the one who's guilty, and he loves the one who's broken. And instead of focusing on his lashes, he focuses on their needs. He loves them. Moms, I challenge that for you today on Mother's Day. To love like Jesus loved. I challenge the church today to love like Jesus loved. I ask the church today to love those that are in need of love today, even if it's not your own physical family. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And in just a second, I'll ask you to come up. Let me give you one more scripture. This is what the word says. This is what Paul says. And again, Romans 12, which is the life that you have in Christ. When God's people are in need, hear me, be ready to help. Always be eager to practice hospitality. So your mother's in need today. Your mother has sacrificed a whole lot. And maybe you got a mom that doesn't. I don't know. But I'm going to ask you today that you're going to have an opportunity to practice hospitality. Could I have everybody stand up?